The legislative yuan has passed a proposal to roll back electricity rates.
In two rounds of voting, the KMT and TPP used their legislative majority to pass the resolution, which urges the cabinet to revoke a power price hike enacted on April 1st.
民进党用错误的政策来造成贪污的机会。
The DPP used its flawed policy to create opportunities for corruption. The rationale for raising power prices was to prepare the nation for shutting down nuclear power. We staunchly oppose this flawed policy. Power prices must not go up. They must not go up.
就算我们用2015马政府那时候的能源配比,
even if we reverted to the energy mix from the Ma administration in 2015, Thai Power would still be facing enormous losses. Using taxpayer dollars to subsidize electricity prices is essentially robbing the poor to feed the rich. The opposition's proposal basically overturns the Electricity Act that the legislative yuan itself passed in 2017.
The resolution passed on Tuesday is a recommendation only. In response, the Economics Ministry stated that it respects the resolution but would uphold the power rates determined by Taiwan's Electricity Price Review Committee. A delegation from Japan's Liberal Democratic Party Youth Division is visiting Taiwan. The group met President Tsai Ing-wen and Vice President Lai Ching-te on Tuesday.
Tsai thanked the party and Japan's people for their earthquake donations. Lai vowed to continue deepening bilateral ties in his tenure to maintain regional stability.
They present President Tsai Ing-wen with a catalog of donations to Taiwan's earthquake relief. Led by Suzuki Takako, a delegation from Japan's Liberal Democratic Party's Youth Division is visiting Taiwan. Tsai thanked the group for supporting Taiwan.
Over this period of time, Taiwanese traveling in Japan report seeing donation boxes for Hualien's earthquake relief. Already, donations have topped 100 million NT, and they only continue to increase. On behalf of the people of Taiwan, I would like to take this opportunity to thank the LDP and all our friends in Japan for your sincere concern for Taiwan.
4月3号, 花莲大地震.
After the earthquake on April 3rd, Japan was the first country to offer assistance to Taiwan. Currently, Japan accounts for the biggest source of international donations, about 60% of the total. We are extremely grateful. All of this demonstrates the solid ties between Taiwan and Japan. It is also the best proof of the people-to-people and heart-to-heart ties between us.
Once again, Taiwan and Japan have proven to be each other's friend in need. President-elect Lai Ching-te expressed hope that the bilateral relationship would continue to deepen during his tenure.
The rise of regional hegemony poses a threat to peace and stability in the region. In the face of globalization and complete digitalization, I hope that, after my inauguration on May 20th, Taiwan will strengthen its cooperation with Japan on multiple levels. I hope to deepen the ties between the people of Taiwan and Japan, and to promote bilateral economic growth and regional stability, to create a scenario in which both Taiwan and Japan enjoy mutual prosperity.
To deepen global ties in his tenure, Lai has tapped Lin Jialong as foreign minister. Reports indicate that the post of deputy foreign minister will go to Taiwan's representative to France, François Wu.
Taiwan's economy expanded 6.51% yearly in the first quarter, according to the government statistics agency. That beats the 5.92% increase forecast in February.
Officials said the performance was due to a boom in exports and a favorable base effect. Other contributing factors were record highs in the stock market and an increase in consumer spending. Dining and aviation were top beneficiaries of rising private consumption. Given the growth rate in Q1, the statistics agency estimates that the annual GDP growth rate will be revised up to 3.57%. That's 0.14 percentage points higher than its February projection. Google recently opened a new office in New Taipei, dramatically increasing its investment in Taiwan. The block is said to be the firm's biggest hardware lab outside the U.S.
The whole complex is big enough for thousands of employees. Luxurious provisions at Google offices are famous all over the world, particularly the sumptuous buffets in the staff canteen. We got a sneak peek at the spread.
Here at the new Google office, there are more than 50 labs, including mechanical arms that simulate the way people use their smartphones, as well as combining multiple systems with wireless connectivity and AI. The lab aims to make Taiwan into a global center for tech research.
This engineering research team has actually grown 20 times within 10 years. We have team members from over 30 different countries.
The team is gathered here in this office, which has space for thousands of employees. The Google staff canteen is famous worldwide, and its Taiwan menu has now been revealed. Crab, scallops, beef, it's an eye-watering buffet. It's free and all you can eat for staff and open for three meals a day. There's tea and coffee, and the dishes never repeat themselves in 1 month. It's a struggle for staff not to overeat.
Every day, the system tells you what dishes are on the menu. People will be surprised and excited about what's coming up tomorrow and look forward to it. On the 7th floor, they have Southeast Asian curry, Japanese food, steaks, beefsteaks. Then up on the 13th floor, there's burgers, Japanese ramen. It's so rich, there are so many dishes. There's always fruit and fruit juice even. You can squeeze your own juice. There's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. There's loads of options, even for breakfast.
Staff need to watch their waistlines, but there's plenty of help at hand. A yoga studio and a gym at the office. When work is done, they can play video games or even dance before going home. Google spares no expense to make their workers experience the office as the height of luxury.
Fireflies are back at Taipei's Da'an Forest Park. The bugs can be spotted at night every April and May, thanks to conservation efforts by the Friends of Da'an Forest Park Foundation.
To celebrate the park's 30th anniversary, Taipei Mayor Jiang Wan-an invited foreign diplomats to enjoy the magical twinkling sight.
Specks of light glimmer in the dark. To mark the 30th anniversary of Da'an Forest Park, Taipei Mayor Jiang Wan-an invited foreign diplomats to enjoy firefly watching.
Taipei City is able to indulge in this evening's firefly festival because this city has the political will to demonstrate that it cares sufficiently for its natural environmental patrimony.
Fireflies have successfully returned to Da'an Park. Now, Da'an Park boasts a complete ecosystem, providing a habitat not only for fireflies, but also butterflies and urban-dwelling birds.
After a decade of efforts, the Friends of Da'an Forest Park Foundation has created a safe haven for birds and butterflies. Now, once a year, the park lights up at night with aquatic Victor fireflies. Thanks to the capital's green lung, locals don't need to trek to the suburbs to see fireflies.
It's cool. There aren't many places where you can see fireflies in the city.
I haven't seen one before, but I'll keep looking out, yeah. Yeah, it is exciting, yeah.
Fireflies have a short but bright lifespan of about 10 days. The city's Firefly Festival starts May 5th, but the twinkling insects can already be spotted around park bushes.
Today, we take you to meet Taiwanese artist Zhen Shangjie. For years, he has devoted himself to wood carving.
He is now showing off his creations in a solo exhibition in Taipei. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang spoke to Zhen to learn more about his artistic vision.
The wood has been carved into figurines of people you see in Taiwanese everyday life. Artist Zhen Shangjie's sculptures are often inspired by his observations of people on Taiwan's streets. In his latest exhibition, Wanping, he was inspired by the greenery at Wanping Park in New Taipei City. He has carefully crafted sculptures of skaters, a baseball player, a graffiti artist, and more. The difficulty lies in hollowing out the middle of the sculpture and not carving out too much. When I attempt this, I try to maintain each step of the process. I want to retain the wood's value, so I try my best not to overdo it. I spend a lot of time deciding whether I will make a cut or not. Therefore, this piece of work was time-consuming. It took about half a year because I couldn't do it too fast. Another series on display is Hunter. It was inspired by the COVID pandemic and Zhen's observations of the war between Russia and Ukraine. I created the Hunter series in 2021. I wanted to respond to the pandemic. Everyone was waiting for the lockdown to be lifted and for good news. I think the Hunter also plays the same role, waiting for his prey and the perfect time to take action. I was creating this work just before the Russian-Ukraine war started. At that time, I saw news that Russia fired missiles and blew up a Ukrainian TV station. I was very concerned about this.
Zhang graduated with bachelor's and master's degrees in sculpture from the National Taiwan University of Arts. Zhang has devoted himself to wood carving for many years. Over the past 2 or 3 years, he has begun to explore other materials for crafting his works.
I wanted to be more creative about general wood carving. I realized that wood is a fiber material. Since it is a fiber material, many things around me are also fiber, such as paper and rope. I put plaster, soil, things used in construction or architecture into my works.
Zhen's solo exhibition will be on display till June 8th at the Dynasty Gallery in Taipei. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang and Li Yihan in Taipei.
Whale watching season is about to begin in Hualien, but tour operators aren't optimistic about tourism. They saw the flow of customers has dried up since the April 3rd earthquake.
Not only that, the quake caused major uplift in the Earth's surface, making it harder for tour boats to operate. To support Hualien tourism, the Ocean Conservation Administration held a certification ceremony on Monday honoring local businesses that run responsible marine tours.
Tourists exclaim as dolphins leap from the sea. Off Hualien County, whale watching boats offer an unforgettable outing. Guests are taught the tenets of responsible marine tourism. Never chase, touch, or feed the animals. Whale watching season starts in May, but the April 3rd earthquake has dampened tourism interest in Hualien. Not only that, the earthquake caused some 45 centimeters of crustal uplift that's made it harder to board boats.
The Earth's surface has moved up, so during low tide, there's a greater height difference at our boarding points. That makes it harder to embark and disembark. In the future, we might need to build deeper stairs or consider other measures. Since the April 3rd earthquake, our customer inflow has dried up. Our boats have hardly been in use.
The Ocean Conservation Administration held a certification ceremony on Monday to honor responsible whale-watching tour operators. The event was also aimed at driving interest in Hualien tourism to support the region's recovery from the earthquake.
The earthquake is in the past and the dolphins have returned, so we invite everybody to seize the opportunity to head out to sea. The Ocean Conservation Administration promotes responsible whale watching. We want our experienced and compassionate boat captains to teach people how they can experience whales up close while also protecting marine life.
A tour guide says that if visitors are wary of Hualien's mountains during aftershocks, they can still consider enjoying marine activities. May to October is whale watching season, and locals hope to see tourists return.
An elevator company wants to make seismic sensors compulsory in Taiwan. Powerful earthquakes like the one on April 3rd can cause elevators to malfunction, trapping people inside.
Seismic sensors override the controls and cause an elevator to stop at the next floor so that riders can evacuate. The company says that in earthquake-prone Japan, such sensors have long been required as standard elevator equipment.
Installing this allows people to get out and not get stuck in the event of an earthquake.
When the device detects an earthquake with an intensity of 4 or more, the moving elevator immediately stops at the next floor and opens the doors to let riders out.
It's dangerous if it stops between floors. If you try to mess with it, you could fall down the shaft. This sensor ensures everyone's safety.
After the riders exit the elevator, the doors close automatically to keep people out. The elevator is also shut down temporarily so that it doesn't derail or crash due to shaking. In the wake of the April 3rd earthquake in Hualien, a Taiwanese elevator company bought locally made seismic sensors and donated them to residential buildings. The company says Taiwan's government should make the sensors compulsory, as is the case in Japan.
Japan is also very prone to earthquakes. Since the Great Hanshin earthquake, they've made earthquake sensors a standard component for elevators. We hope to take the lead in creating change.
现在的地震感知设备它是智能化的。
The seismic sensor is a smart device with communication capabilities, so it can send real-time data to a centralized cloud unit.
Elevators have an average lifespan of about 20 years. According to the National Land Management Agency, there are more than 84,000 elevators in Taiwan that are more than 20 years old. Adding earthquake sensors could strengthen Taiwan's disaster prevention readiness, while further ensuring the safety of apartment dwellers.
A new type of low-intensity gun is being used to scare away nuisance macaques. Formosan rock macaques are a pest in some parts of Taiwan and often help themselves to farmers' crops.
Now the Forestry Bureau is training farmers to use animal dispersal guns to give monkeys a warning to get off their land. These guns have been designed not to kill macaques, but just give them a nasty warning.
A macaque climbs up and down the roof, his friend sitting at one side enjoying the breeze. The Forestry Bureau has a new trick to try to prevent macaques from entering human spaces. A forestry official picks up the gun, takes aim, and fires. These six guns have been bought to teach local farmers how to become sharpshooters, to keep away the macaques that are more and more of a nuisance. The monkeys are completely brazen and running around farmers' orchards, stealing citrus fruit. Even if somebody chases one away, they are barely disturbed. But this is a new trick. With a clang, the gun releases a plastic pellet that is not fatal for a monkey, but can give a wild animal a serious shock. In recent days, the Yilan branch of the Forestry Bureau has invited a pro team of shooting trainers to the Dongshan Station to give a class on how to drive wild animals away while shooting. Local residents have also come to practice using the weapons.
The dispersal guns create a noise and pain, so if a wild animal is hit by a bullet from a dispersal gun, they will feel pain and remember it physically.
The animal dispersal guns are sold legally, but after purchase, they must be registered, and buyers must sign an affidavit promising not to adapt them. If the gun is examined and found to have been adapted or used on people, there are serious consequences.
If farmers are in a region threatened by macaques, they can go online and find a platform or an online retailer to buy these animal dispersal guns.
Through training and education programs, the Forestry Bureau hopes these guns will help people in rural areas attain a better balance with the four-legged creatures on their land.
Researchers at Academia Sinica have discovered alarming levels of global warming stress on mountains worldwide.
They found that the boundary lines between climate zones or isotherms are moving upward at a faster rate than past estimates. FTV reporter Cynthia Yang spoke to lead researcher Shen Shenfeng to learn more.
To study how temperature boundaries are moving up, Academia Sinica researchers looked at mountain ranges around the world. They found severe global warming stress at 17 mountain ranges, including the Alaska-Yukon area to the highlands of northern Sumatra. In these regions, isotherms are climbing at a rate exceeding 11.67 meters per year, which is much higher than previous estimates. This rapid shift poses a major threat to species inhabiting those areas, researchers say.
We identify 17 regions that are most threatened by the climate warming, including Northeast Asia and Mediterranean region, and also some mountains in Indonesia. We estimate the increase, they need to move 11 meter every year up.
The study was led by Shen Shenfeng, a research fellow of the Biodiversity Research Center at Taiwan's Academia Sinica. The team utilized empirical data on species movement, satellite data, and thermodynamic modeling to explore how species relocation is connected to isotherm changes. The study looked into over 8,600 mountain ranges across 17 regions. Although Taiwan's mountainous regions are warming more slowly than the global average, their isotherms are rising faster than average due to Taiwan's high humidity.
We have been conducting a long-term study on the barren beetles in Taiwan. So we actually survey them every month, and we compare it to the local climate data to see the seasonal variation and how does these beetle react to the temperature change. In Taiwan, the organism basically needs to move about 7 meters a year. So that means in 10 years, they might need to move like 70 meters up. So in other words, I think it's very important to conserve the mountain region. We should do less development in these mountain regions.
Researchers hope the study will encourage the public and governments to prioritize the protection of mountain ranges across the world. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang and Guo Wenhai in Taipei.
The first front of the plum rain season is moving closer. It'll start to pass over Taiwan on Wednesday, but it's already brought showers to Greater Taipei and Hsinchu.
As the front progresses, northern and eastern Taiwan will see even stronger rains, along with a drop in temperatures.
As the front comes closer, by the evening of April 30th, we'll see rainfall over more areas. Initially, the western region will see sporadic showers. But on May 1st, when the front begins to pass over Taiwan, we will enter a period of very unstable weather that lasts through May 2nd.
According to the Central Weather Administration, this year's plum rain season will bring average or below average precipitation. Sustained rainfall is expected to occur in late May and early June, a bit later than historical averages. In recent years, Taiwan has tended to see a delayed rainy season, with more concentrated and intense periods of rainfall.